Earth calling. Testing. Okay. Well, good evening. And I just want to tell you, you know, my wife and I are having a good experience coming here, and I kind of, you know, I'm really excited about the fact I believe you're got the right frame of mind for moving forward, moving on, handling the situation that's been given you to deal with. It's a difficult situation, but you know, it's kind of like in our families. I noticed all the people on here. What a good example for me to use tonight. All the people on here with sickness and different problems. We have to, in our body and in our family and in our church, we have to learn to deal with problems. We got health issues. We got financial issues. We got attitude issues sometimes. And so the great physician can help us with those things. Amen. So I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And again, it's a privilege for my wife and I to be here. We're just delighted to be, and we want to be an encouragement. That's my only agenda, is to try to be an encouragement to you. And I'm not trying to impress you with anything, and I'll get into that in just a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, please stand with me for just a moment. And we're going to read from verse 16 down through 21, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 16, and moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men, befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yet they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are of the dust, and all return to the dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Father, I pray that you'll bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of your word tonight. I need your help. And these people, Lord, need some word from you that will encourage them through this difficult scenario that they face, to help them to keep looking to your guidance and for your solution to their problems and their health needs, their financial concerns. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to work in this church in a mighty way, perhaps even greater than it ever than you ever have in the past. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know if you heard about the young lawyer that was trying to impress people. I'm afraid sometimes preachers might be like this, but there was a young lawyer trying to impress people. So he just graduated from law school, and he got an office and a desk and a couch and pictures on the wall and all that, and got the plants and looked like he'd been there for years, you know, and the office was all set up. It was his first day in his new office, and he sat there behind the desk waiting for his first client to come in. And he heard footsteps coming down the hallway, and he heard the knock on the door. Oh, this was going to be his first client in his new office with all his impressive books and his plants and his big desk and his office chair. And so he didn't want to look too eager, and he didn't want to seem too inexperienced. So he quickly picked up the telephone on his desk and began to start a conversation. And then he said, as he put his hand over the receiver to the fellow that was knocking on the door, come on in, and I'll be with you in just a moment. The fellow came in, sat down on the couch, and the lawyer said, yes, I think I can fit your case in. Uh-huh, right. I realize it will probably all go all the way to the Supreme Court, but we can handle that. Yes, no problem. And he was carrying on this phony conversation, wanting to seem experienced and in demand and important. And then he hung up and he said, okay, very well, good. I'll check my calendar. I'll get back to you. And then he hung up and he looked at the man who was sitting on the couch, and he said to that individual, now what can I do for you? And the fellow said, well, actually, I'm from the phone company. I'm here to connect your telephone. Sometimes when we try to impress people, it backfires, doesn't it? Sometimes we really get our foot in it. And so I've learned a long time ago not to try to be impressive, but try to be real and be authentic and to be honest. And I'm going to tell you that, honestly speaking, I think you folks have a great future ahead of you if you'll keep this same cheerful cooperation going on and this same love for each other and this same love for the community that you're in. I think the sky's the limit. I think that God can do wonderful things here on this corner if you'll keep that in mind. But having said that, I want to talk to you about, you know, it's amazing to me that you have the number of people on your prayer list that all have cancer prayer requests. And it's funny that that's the exact thing I want to preach about tonight, because you see, a church is a body. And we know our bodies. I've had, goodness gracious, I've had operations, and I'm not taking any pills today. And I've made it a whole year with no doctor's visits. I'm real happy about that. When you get my age and you go a whole year without visiting a doctor, that's victory. That's good success. And I thank the Lord for His grace and answered prayer. And He's got me through some pretty dark moments in my life, in my experience. And but there are diseases. There are diseases that kill the body. Now, when I say that, there are diseases that kill this body, and of course, we battle arthritis and cancer and osteoporosis and all kinds of things that we have to deal with. And it's true. And our bodies are subject to sin and death, suffering and death because of sin that was unleashed in the Garden of Eden. And we can't say every time somebody has cancer or they have an operation, well, if they would live right, they wouldn't have that problem. That's not true, because sin affects everybody. Sin affects everybody, and disease affects everybody. God can overcome it, and He can overrule it, but we need to understand there is coming a day that when we quit functioning for the purpose or being useful to God, we're going to be done. Our life is going to be over. When God says our life is over, it's over. And no doctor will be able to prevent that. No doctor will be able to prevent that. And we need to be ready for that day by having received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we need to know where we're going and be glad that we're on the journey and excited about the prospect of seeing Him face to face. Amen. So we're all given to sickness and disease. Well, in the same sense of the word, the church body is given to sickness and disease. But now I don't know about you, but most of the doctors that I've been to, I guess all of them, they tell you to do something, and I think I've done everything they told me to do. But there's a lot of people that don't. They go to the doctor and they pay good money. Their insurance pays, or they have to pay. And then they go out and say, I'm not taking that medicine. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to sleep that long. I'm not going to get exercise. I'm not going to. And they're not going to do what the doctor said. Now, in a similar sense, a pastor is a shepherd that cares for the sheep. And he gives advice. He's not a medical doctor, but he's a spiritual doctor. Okay? So when you have a pastor that's a spiritual doctor, he's going to say, now here's some things I think these are some things that will help you for your prognosis, help you get better in the Lord, happy in the Lord, spiritually well. And all of us want to be spiritually well. We all want to be physically well, and we're not always physically well, and we pray about it. Well, we ought to pray about it when we're not always spiritually well as well, because we're in the body, and we don't want the body to have disease, see? And you think about our physical body. God made us to reproduce after our kind. I'm not going to take the time to go into all the verses in the book of Genesis, but reproduction in the Bible is after our kind. And when we don't reproduce after our kind, we don't have a purpose for existing until God wanted one generation to teach the next generation, to teach the next generation after our kind. And the church needs to reproduce after its kind. But unfortunately, sometimes like people who get serious disease or sick or cancer, they get turned inward. Instead of reproducing after their kind, they're in a fight for survival and they forget what they're here for. They forget that they're here to let their light shine, to preach the gospel, to win people to Jesus Christ. And it's a cancer that can ruin a church. I know churches where the senior citizens go shopping, but they don't go soul winning. I know churches where the senior citizens play dominoes and horseshoes and have fellowship dinners and breakfast, but they don't win people to Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, that's a cancer that will kill a church, because what happens to a generation if a generation doesn't reproduce after its kind? There's no more people. And a church is a body, and if the cells don't keep reproducing after their kind, then when this generation is gone, there's no more generation. You understand what I'm saying? I drive out through the country. I've been all around the country, and I like to go out through the mountains, and I see a little white church out in a valley somewhere, and the sun will be shining on it, and I'll say, boy, I'd like to go to that church, and the person that's with me sometimes will say, well, you wouldn't like that one. I said, why? I said, because there's no people in there. They're all out in the cemetery out back. See that nice big cemetery out back? That's where all the people are, because they didn't reproduce after their kind. They didn't reproduce. See, when people get saved, they're born again. They're born into God's family. They're added to the church, and the church continues to prosper and create new cells in the body. And if we don't create new cells in the body, and we got this cancer of me first and me only and all I want, it's not what God wants, it's what I want, then we have a cancer that will ultimately destroy our body. It's just like going to a doctor, and the doctor says, if you do what I tell you to do and get your exercise and take your pills and behave yourself, you'll live a long time. And you say, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to pout and suffer and complain and whine, and I'm not going to take my medicine. Well, you're signing your own death warrant. And many churches sign their own death warrant by losing the vision for the prescription that the doctor gave to us for a healthy body. A healthy body will reproduce itself after its own kind. That means if I'm saved, I want to get somebody else saved. And I want somebody else to be saved and learn the Bible like I know it, so they can pass it on to somebody else. Paul said, the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, I preached on this last week, the same commit to others, who will teach others also. So we have to reproduce after our kind, because in Genesis 3:17, God said to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So, we live in a world that is cursed. The ground is cursed. You'll remember it said it's going to bring thorns and thistles. You remember the woman is cursed and she's going to be saved only in childbearing. That's going to be the blessedness that she has. And the man is cursed in the sweat of his brow. He's going to bring forth, he's going to have to labor and it's going to be a hard life. And that's all because of sin. And so now that sin has reproduced and reproduced and reproduced generation after generation, till we have a world of people that are wicked sinners. We have wicked sinners in the world. And our bodies are like that. If we don't do the things that are prescribed for our well-being and our health, we are going to continue to deteriorate. And your church will deteriorate unless you make up your mind, we're going to do what the doctor ordered, and we're going to be healthy, and we're going to pray about our spiritual health, and we're going to go forward doing the things that a good, healthy body does. Amen. So it's appointed unto men once to die. Sometimes perfectly healthy people die at what seems to be an unnatural or untimely death. And we find out that drugs cause an untimely death. Alcohol causes an untimely death. Reckless driving causes many. We have big signs in Texas, big flashing signs on the highway. It says stop the runaway death rate on the highway. There's already 3,000 or 4,000 people killed on the highway this year in Texas. And it's, I mean, getting on the highway is more dangerous than the coronavirus. It's more dangerous than flying an airplane. It's more dangerous than living in a white house with a brawling woman. I mean, it's a dangerous thing. God said that was a tough thing. It's a dangerous thing to, foolishness. People don't take care of their windshield wipers and they get ran over. I told you about that. Foolishness and moral perversions and disease. It accelerates the dying process. It accelerates it. My father and mother both died in their 50s from heart disease. And my father had a lung removed because he smoked cigarettes, several packs of Camels a day, unfiltered Camels. And so he died in his 50s. He died when my son was 6 months old. He's the only, my son's the only grandchild he ever lived to see. And so I'm saying that if we could take an example from that for a church body sometimes will take stubborn positions about things. And instead of obeying what the Word of God says, this is a prescription for health and happiness, they'll say, well, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to exercise. I'm not going to be spiritually happy. I'm not going to take my spiritual vitamins. I'm not going to listen to my doctor. You are perhaps, it is possible that you are part of the problem of accelerating the death rate of the church, instead of accelerating the growth rate and the reproduction of cells. You know, I don't know how many millions of cells our body has. They say when you wash your hand, you take a shower, you actually you replenish your skin. Your skin actually reproduces, and you have new skin after you wash and shower and scrub up and all that. But if we don't wash and shower and scrub up, guess what? We decay and we stink. So we need to, as God said, we're washed and we're cleansed by the washing of the water of God's Word. It keeps us healthy. It keeps us fresh. It keeps us in tune with God. And we don't want to do things in the spiritual sense that would accelerate the death rate for a church. And I want to tell you, every church is going to die sooner or later. I don't know if you know that or not. They're going to die sooner or later unless Jesus comes first. And when I say that, just like a body, your body is going to die. You might as well prepare for that. Prepare for the eventuality that your breath is going to be gone, your body's going to the grave, and your soul is going back to God who gave it. That's what it says in this chapter. The animals don't have that. They go to the earth and dust to dust like the animal, but animals don't have the Spirit of God. They weren't made in the image of God. But people go back to God because that's where we came from. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, the breath of all life. And Adam became a living soul. And he'll never die. Humanity never dies. Once we're born, I like what one fellow said, if you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you only die once. And so, so perfectly healthy people seem to die at an unnatural or untimely death. We say, why did they die? Why did they die? And when you look into the matter, sometimes it's because they were unwise, they were disobedient to their doctor, or they did foolish things in their life, or they were stubborn and somehow they accelerated the rate of death in their life. And so, for instance, people that contract cancer die faster than other people unless God intervenes. I mean, cancer is it's a horrible thing, and it takes millions of lives. And unless God intervenes, it accelerates the rate of death for the person that's got it. And so when you hear somebody's got cancer, it's almost like they've got a death sentence. But guess what? We all have a death sentence. And the only thing that keeps us from dying moment by moment is the grace of God. He's the one that keeps us alive. He gave us breath, and He's the one that keeps us alive. And so I say that cancer is the mother of all diseases, and human beings that do not care for their health accelerate their destruction by the bad habits, the poor care that they give to their own bodies. So listen to this. Life is perpetual. We have the breath of God in us. When we're saved, we're born of the Spirit of God. Jesus comes to live in us, and we're going to live forever. Amen? So life is perpetual. It is not permanent in this body. It's perpetual, but it's not permanent. It is to reproduce itself. While we're in this body, we are to reproduce after our kind in the flesh, and we're supposed to reproduce after our kind in the spiritual life. We're supposed to have families with fathers and mothers and children, boys and girls, that are raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord so they can take it to their generation. And we're supposed to win people to Jesus Christ who will be able to teach others also. So there is the physical reproduction, and God uses families to do that. And there is this spiritual reproduction, and God uses His church family to do that, people who are saved. So one generation, Psalm 145 verse 4 says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. And God does some wonderful things when people follow His word and follow His will. So it's always reproduction of the same kind. No family ever produced dogs in the world. No. No family ever produced monkeys. As a matter of fact, well, I don't know. Monkeys never produced men, but I think sometimes man does produce monkeys. I think we're devolving. I told somebody, I said, my brother and I never evolved from monkeys, but we're going back to monkeys. We may act like monkeys, that's right. So, but it's reproduction of the same kind. God made us after a kind. He made male and female, and He wants us to reproduce after the same kind. Body, soul, and spirit, animals after their own kind. And animals are not humankind, and humans are not animal kind. So it's, and by the way, it's not replacement with a genetically altered species. I think that's a dangerous thing to play with the metrics that foul up the genetic makeup of human beings. I think they're monstrous in what they're thinking that they can do. Because God doesn't want us to reproduce after another kind. He created the great whales and every living creature that moveth. And He said in Genesis 1:21, after His kind, God saw that it was good. So everything that God created was an original. I don't know if you, I know you have a copy machine here. And so sometimes I have to take pictures of documents, you know. And nowadays you can do it with your camera, you know, you can take pictures of your camera. And I take pictures of a document, and I get the picture, and I look at it, and it's not square. It's got one corner hanging off, and it's shaded on the other side. You can't read it because I had my thumb over the lens. And it's a reproduction, but it's not the same kind. And there is no, and when God made man in His own image, He made him perfect. And when He made woman, He made her in His own image. He made him after the same kind. And so when you think about what God's done, every one of us is an original, see? And we're not somehow inferior to Adam and Eve. He gave us the same possibilities to make the choice to obey God, to love God, serve God, or to listen to the devil. He made us with the same possibilities of being after the image of God. And so So God created man in His own image, and He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So there's a war against the Bible, against Christ, against Christianity, against churches, against believers, and against families. Everybody, you know, people say, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, but Christians go to church. You don't, you don't have to go home because you're married, but you do. I mean, it's kind of required that you show up if you say you have a family. It's kind of required that you pay attention to that family. And people like say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the church. No, they're liars. They don't understand what Christianity is about. They don't understand that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. They don't understand that a husband's supposed to love his wife like Christ loved the church, self-sacrificing, self-denying, and washed in the water of His word. They don't understand it's after the same kind. It's not you can be saved and be different. No, if you're going to be saved, you're going to be the same kind. And you're going to love the Lord with all your heart. And that's the command. So there's a war against the Bible, and we can see it coming up today. And if you'll notice in our text that we read, chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, it says, verse 16, he said, I saw under the sun the place of judgment that wicked was there. It's in the courts, isn't it? Wickedness is in the courts. And the place of righteousness, that iniquity there, it's in the churches. It's in the courts and it's in the churches. Why? Because the courts and the churches are run by men. And it doesn't matter whether they're in the church or in the courtroom, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so he said, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time for every purpose under the sun. So Solomon was reflecting on the wickedness that's everywhere. It's in high places. It's in low places. All have sinned. Some sin more than others. Some sin in greater degree than others. But there is nobody that's exempt from sin because of Adam. That disease has been unleashed and everybody's got it. And how we deal with it is going to determine as to whether or not our generation is going to go on and prosper until Jesus comes. In the church sense, in the spiritual sense, how we deal with that sin that cursed every man and how we deal with that sin in the body is going to determine whether we continue to be a happy, healthy, God-fearing, Holy Spirit-filled body that wins others after their own kind. Are you with me? See? And so the devil's a roaring lion. He wants to consume and destroy. That's what the word devour means. He wants to consume and destroy churches and Christians and the Bible and Christ and everything he can. Churches are closing today at an alarming rate. Closing. I told you that the other day. Churches are closing. If you have a computer, just all you have to do is Google and say, how fast are churches closing? How many churches closed last year? And it'll be an alarming rate, I promise you. And so like human beings that don't care for their bodies, some churches die faster than others. Why? Because they don't listen to the doctor. They don't listen to the Lord. They don't listen to the Holy Spirit. They don't take the medicine. And they say, well, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. I'm a special. I'm exempt. And I don't have to do. I'm not like other sinners. And God says that you're just like other sinners. As a matter of fact, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8 says, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's true for every Christian. There's nobody exempt from that. Preachers need to repent. And deacons need to repent. And church members need to repent. Every time that something occurs in our life that the Holy Spirit convicts us of, and as our doctor, he says, I'm telling you that you're the one. You're the one. You need to deal with this. Bring it to the altar. Give it to the Lord. Ask forgiveness. And if you do, you can be healthy. And if you don't, you're adding to the cancerous disease of destruction and accelerating the death rate of the body. Do you understand what I'm saying? See? Okay, so there's a war. Churches can't be murdered. Praise God for that. But they can self-destruct. See? Churches can self-destruct because they refuse to take the medicine. So you can't tell me of a church or a denomination of churches that has not suffered over time. But the churches that prosper reproduce after their kind. They don't get all, it's me and us and our little church. I like what one preacher said. You know, he said, well, I just want a good little church. And his teacher said, there's no such thing as a good little church. Said, if it's good, it can't stay little. And if it's little, it won't be good very long. Because what happens is we get turned in about me, my mind, what I want, and is the church meeting my needs? And nowhere in the Bible does the Bible talk about my needs. It's always talking about others, about others, about others, about reproducing, about winning people. So a church, like a human body, is perpetual, not permanent. It's to reproduce after its kind, so that the next generation will have an authentic original, not somebody who just joined a church, but somebody who was born again. See, churches can go on, but if they don't have people in them that are saved and born again, they go on in an unhealthy determination to do their own thing, and they don't reproduce after their own kind. So John said in 3 John And verse 2, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper." You know what that's telling me? You can be saved, but sick. That's like somebody says, "Well, I'm a Christian, but my body's unhealthy." It's possible. It's possible to be alive, but not well. It's possible to be in the church, but not healthy, not spiritually healthy. Sometimes people go to church with a stubborn spirit, with a doubtful heart, with a negative attitude, with a questioning idea, and they never have anything good to say. They only have bad things to say, critical things. They question everything, and they doubt everything, and they're not willing to follow leadership or the doctor's rule. So they have a healthy soul, but they have an unhealthy body. So Proverbs 3 and verse 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." So God said if you really want to have long life and good health, then it says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And I have to tell you that I've observed many people who have survived an untimely death because they love the Lord. And I've known other people who seem to be healthy that died untimely deaths because I think God couldn't use them and wouldn't use them because their stubbornness, they won't take the medicine, they won't listen to the advice of the doctor, and they just are bent on destruction. So, Proverbs 3:1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days." Proverbs 3:2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." Wouldn't it be good if every Christian could learn that my healthy spiritual life contributes to the length of my healthy physical life? When I'm healthy spiritually, God says it accelerates the healing process in my physical life. See? And I'm not a holistic yoga. I'm not into all that stuff. But I'm into serving the Lord with gladness. I'm into having the right attitude with God. I'm into humbling myself before the Lord. I'm into being thankful. You can go to the bookstore and you'll find books on prophecy. You'll find books on end time events. You'll find political books. I challenge you to see if you can find a book on how to be thankful and live a thankful life. I've been to a lot of bookstores. I've never seen one. They don't write on how to be thankful. They write on how to get more from God, how to get God to give you more and do more for you. But nobody ever writes on how to thank God for what you already got. But I think God expects us to be thankful. You know, you know what I did when my doctor did a heart surgery on me? Of course, they put me in therapy, and I could hardly walk, and I got I got a new valve. I got a pig valve. Nobody asked you. So... No, it's Google. So, I don't know what I was talking about now. Oh, I got a heart valve, and so I'm in therapy, and they're walking me down the hall and around the hospital and all around the hall. So I got checked out, and I was walking, and I came back in 2 days with a big fruit basket from edible arrangements. And I gave it to the nurses, and they looked up and said, is that you? I said, yeah. And they said, you shouldn't be walking like this. And I said, well, I don't know about that. I just prayed and did what the doctor said, and here I am, and here's your fruit. And I was thankful. I had a doctor that saved my life. I had two doctors. One of them did the surgery, but one of them discovered I had I had a quadruple blockage, and it was hidden, and nobody saw it. I went to the hospital twice, and they said I didn't have anything. But my other doctor, he said, I think we're going to look a little deeper here, and he found it, and his name is Santos, and he saved my life, and I'm going to send, this year, it's been, I don't know how many years it's been, but I'm going to send him a fruit basket at Christmas time, because I'm still thankful. I'm thankful. I'm going to live a thankful life. I'm going to be thankful for every drop of blessing that comes my way, every drop of dew that comes down from heaven. I'm thankful for what God's done in my life and what He does for me. I've got some people that work on my motorhome. They don't have to, and they save me a lot of money. I'm taking my basket at Christmas time because I'm thankful for the help that I get in this life. And I know it comes from God, but God uses people to be a blessing. And if I'm going to be thankful to God, I have to thank the people that He uses to be a blessing to me. It's right to be thankful for my pastor. It's right to be thankful for people that help me in the work of God. It's right to be thankful. And I think we need to teach people to be thankful. It helps you to be healthy when you're thankful. When there's nothing, let me tell you something, when there's nothing between you and God, there's no hidden sin, there's no unconfessed sin, there's no bitterness, and there's no anger. Even things that bitterness, when it comes up, you have to take that bitterness and give it to God and ask God to help you and forgive somebody when you don't even like them and you don't want to. But Jesus forgave you when you didn't deserve it, and He expects you to be thankful and forgiving like He was. Amen. Because you're after the same kind. And if you're going to reproduce Him, you don't want to be a lopsided corner, jagged copy with shadows and somebody's thumbprint on it. You want to be an original produced by Christ through the new birth and having gotten past all of that human failure and sinful conduct that came with your humanity. You've been born of the Spirit of God. Now live like a spiritual being, even when you're... A lot of churches have a lot of conflict when they go through the process of choosing a new leader. And much of it is because of this very issue. They don't deal with their own sin issues or their own issues, and they don't have a healthy body, and they can't possibly find the right man because they're not right, and they don't know how to choose the right man. They're not in the frame of mind to choose the right man. They ask God, and God opens the door and does this, and they say, well, I don't think that's right. And instead of saying, well, if that's the way God's leading, that's the way I'm going. You know, these new cars, after about 2010 or so, they started having these halogen headlights. And they're blinding. You think people's got their lights on when they don't have... If they put their lights on, you'd have to pull over to the side. And I'm saying in my heart, why do people need enough light to see into tomorrow? You can't drive fast enough to need that much light. And it's like Christians who say, well, oh, I just don't know how this is going to turn. If we call this guy to be our... How's this guy? I don't know if this is going to work. It's not up to you to make it work. It's up to you to follow God's leadership. You know what God does? You know, sometimes you'd like to have enough light to see all the way down the pathway. And He says, no, just take another step. I'm going to give you enough light to take a step. If you'll take a step, I'll give you enough light for another step. If you're not going to take any steps, I'm not going to give you any light. Because He wants us to walk by faith. He wants us, He said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And He said it's required that we have faith. Amen? So we just have to have enough faith to take the next step. And when we take another step, God gives us some more light for another step. So what happens? I believe that reproduction is the key to longevity. You know, when we first got married, we kind of decided that we just have two children. And when I was young, stressed out, had no money, my folks didn't have money. When my folks died, I had to participate in paying for their parents' funeral, my parents' funeral, and my brother and sister and I wound up with $700 apiece when my parents were finally gone, because all the funerals were still on the table and unpaid for. And so they died, and then they lost the house. The house was bought for $7,000 in 1947, and it was sold when I was 20 years old for $7,000. And so there just wasn't anything. There was nothing to fight over. There was nothing to, and it's because they had a different philosophy about life and about the purpose of life and all that. So reproduction is the key to longevity. So I said all that to say we only had two children. Looking back now, I think I could have managed a half a dozen or maybe more kids, but I didn't think I could when we started so young. We started young with our children, and it was stressful. I didn't know. Nobody told me how to raise kids. They didn't know. They didn't tell me what to do with them, and I had no parental counseling. I didn't have any marriage counseling. I was scared to death. I didn't want a house full of kids. I didn't know what to do with them. But God was gracious to us, and our kids are wonderful. I just wish we had more of them. I just wish we had a whole bunch more of them now. We got how many? We got how many grandkids we have? 9 great grandkids, but we don't live close to any of them. And so, so I'm just telling you that reproduction is the key to longevity. If you want the church to prosper, you have to get some young people in here. You have to get some kids and people in here that you can train up to serve the Lord. People that will take the bus ministry and take some of these ministries and soul winning, and they'll learn it young, and it'll be part of their life. And when they get to be our age, they'll say, well, that's not the way we used to do it, and we're not changing now, and we're going to keep doing the same thing in the next generation, the next generation, King James Bible, Baptist name, local church, soul winning, and the whole thing. And don't ever let anybody tell you those are old-fashioned things. They're eternal values. They're values that are written in the Word of God. So let me name real quick. I'm gonna tell you some diseases that the church has, like cancers that human beings have. There's all kinds of cancers. There's breast cancer, cervical cancer, bone cancer. There's every kind of cancer you can imagine. Brain cancer. But there's diseases in the church too. Did you know what? That are like those cancers. That'll do the same thing to a church that the cancers do to a human body. There's the cancer of gossip. Because the talebearer revealeth secrets. There is the cancer of laziness. God said if a man don't work, he ought not to eat. We not to perpetuate the idea that Christians should get something for nothing. There's the cancer of apathy and carelessness, hardness of heart. There's the cancer of selfishness. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's hard to say no to what I want. It's hard, but it's required. It's required for me to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Okay. Selfishness. Worldliness. The devil is out here saying, what kind of phone you have? And you'll say, yeah. He said, but you don't have one of these. You need to go get one of these. Everybody else got one. How come you don't have one? And the devil wants you to always think that you've been bypassed and that you're suffering and you don't have the best and you ought to have better. You're a victim. So worldliness is a big disease, and it's coming into the church. Worldly attitudes and habits and desires. And sometimes churches change to accommodate the world, and then you don't have a church anymore. You have an entertainment program, or you have a worldly church. And then pride, and pride is the mother of all sin. Did you know that? It's the original sin, pride. It's when people get where they get mad easy, they get argumentative. They're stubborn. They can't be led. They won't read their Bible. Am I right? Yeah. Well, I mean, if you let it go, it'll go that far. It'll go further than that. It'll get where you can't get along with anybody. You can't say, I'm sorry. And you can't say, I was, you can't say it. You can't say I was wrong. Yeah. So, Paul warned about that. He said, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmises. That's what happens when you don't deal with the disease. No reproduction. No longevity. Christ is not... the church is not permanent. The church is not permanent. It's perpetual. It's a living organism. It's a living stone. And if it doesn't keep itself healthy, it will die. But reproducing, ongoing, regenerating, renewing, reviving, like cells in the body. When we wash and scrub ourselves up, It's amazing how that we can stay fresh and stay vibrant by taking care of our body. And longevity will be limited by the disease of a body, and so will the longevity of a church body if it has unfinished business, sins that haven't been dealt with, cancerous diseases. So as diseases kill the human body, so diseases kill the church body. The a new building won't grow a church. I know a lot of churches have new building, they don't have any people. I know a lot of churches that built big buildings so they could have people, and then they had to compromise to keep the people so they could pay for the building. And that's not of the Lord. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, go get in debt so much you can't pay for it and build me a wonderful house. God never said that. We don't see that in the Bible at all. I'm not saying you ought not to have a beautiful building. I'm saying don't build something you can't pay for. And then you have to compromise, get people to come so you can get them to help you pay for it. And so I don't want to see your church have an untimely death. I don't want to have an untimely death in my life. And I'm going to do everything I can to behave myself with my wife, with my kids, with my church family, with the Lord, so that he'll give me long days and good health. That's what he promised to do. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I'm going to do my best to walk uprightly so God can bless me. And he won't have to say, well, I'd like to bless him, but he's so stinking stubborn and full of pride, I can't give him what he wants. See? That's the way it works. Just like your kids. When they want something and you'd like to give it to them, they had a commercial on TV I was watching. Let me tell you this. I was visiting one time in a home, and the guy that I was visiting was I don't know whether he was a detective or a policeman. He wasn't in uniform when I visited there, but he was on a walkie-talkie talking to a captain or somebody. And he had a little boy, maybe 7 years old, six, 7 years old, seven probably. And when he went in the house, it was a split entry. You know, you go in the foyer, and you could either go downstairs or you could go upstairs. Upstairs was the living quarters. Downstairs was family room and garage underneath the house. So I went in. He hollered. He said, come in. And I opened the door, and he's standing up there on his walkie-talkie, and I went up the steps. And halfway up the steps, this little boy came down to meet me, and he hit me in the stomach. Boom! Like that. And I tried to control myself, and I got up to the top of the step. The guy's still on the walkie-talkie. He put it down on the kitchen counter, and his little boy went over it, and he started punching numbers on it and talking in it, and the man picked it up and put it up on the counter. He did that three times. The little boy picked it back up every time. And then finally, he put it up on top of the cabinet or on top of the refrigerator somehow, and the little boy said, but I want it! And you know what he did? He gave it to him. I'd have given him something. I was in the store. I mean, I saw on TV yesterday, there was a woman going out with her basket. You probably saw this commercial. I don't even know what they were advertising. But they're going out with their basket, and there was two bags of cookies in the basket. Oh, there was a bag of cookies in the basket, and the little boy put another one, just like the one that was already in there, in the basket. And they went out, and she took it out and put it on the shelf, just passing by, and put it on another shelf and kept going. And when they got to the cash register, he put it back on the conveyor belt. I'm telling you, there's some people that are not going to follow the rules unless there's discipline. There's some cancers that can't be dealt with unless they're cut out. There's some disease that can't be dealt with unless the great physician says, we're not doing this, and you're not going to behave this way. I'm going to make you healthy, and it's going to hurt. You're going to be better when it's all done. You're not going to like it, but because you've got a bad attitude, I'm going to fix it. And God knows how to fix our attitude. Wouldn't it be good if every church member had a happy attitude and was thankful for what God's done and loved one another with a pure heart fervently, as the Bible commands for us to do, instead of going to church and saying, I wonder if Joe will be there. I tell you right now, if he sits near me, I'm moving. He better not get in my parking place or my seat. See? That's the way we think, isn't it? Or we go to church and say, if that preacher mentions that one more time, I'm changing churches. Maybe he's mentioning it because you didn't take the medicine. maybe it's grating you the wrong way because God's trying to use it to fix the cells in your body. He's trying to fix you so you can be a healthy cell in His body. See? That's the way it works. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love to us. Lord, I'm thankful that You love us enough to chasten us. You said You chasten every son that You receive. Nobody's exempt. I'm not exempt. No preacher's exempt. No deacon, no church member's exempt. When we do wrong, Lord, You reveal it to us. I pray that You give us wisdom to know how to deal with the flaws, the sins, the disease in our spiritual life and in our body so that we don't corrupt Your body. And Lord, we thank You for this church. We pray that You'll magnify Your name here and pray that You'll give them a pastor that will love them and have a great vision for future growth in this ministry and will reproduce after His kind and after the kind of the people who are saved here. And the church will go on and on and on and on until Jesus comes. And we'll thank You for it in His name. Amen. I tell you, if God speaks to you about the disease in your spiritual life, deal with it before He has to deal with it. Amen. God bless you. All right. Thank you. I never have been applauded before. Thank you. About the what? Oh, yeah.